And I do pray that you just thank you that we got a warm building. And I know believers in Russia in the past would meet outside in cold weather. And Lord, I just pray you'd help us to concentrate in your word, learn from it. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Daniel 9:24. I went pretty much skimmed through it. I'd like to come back verse 26 and 27. Okay, remember this is the probably one of the most important prophecies that give the calendar for the first and second coming of Christ. Okay, so the 69 weeks will be up until the first coming, or specifically Palm Sunday, and then there's a large gap in there. We know that now to be the church time period, so about a 2,000 year gap in here. And then verse 27 is the last remaining week portion of it, maybe the whole thing, who knows, it doesn't matter. People that get all upset about that, leave a church over that, it shows there's a deeper issue. Why would you leave a church over that? There's something deeper going on. That's often what the nature of a man does, is they justify their decisions thinking, oh, this is a spiritual thing I can do to make it look like I'm leaving for a spiritual reason, when it's often something deeper in reality. So 9:24, we'll just run through real quick again. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city. So it's obvious it's Israelites in Jerusalem. The six or seven characteristics that completes the calendar: to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Okay, the last one is an obvious one, to anoint the most holy. Okay, so anybody that reads that and is honest will recognize, okay, that has not taken place yet, so these 70 weeks are still in play. Verse 25 is the start of the calendar. Now therefore, and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks. Okay, that was given by, or you find that in Nehemiah chapter 1 and 2, rebuild the walls. And then in Ezra, the rebuilding of the temple. Okay, but this said specifically to build Jerusalem. So that would throw it on Nehemiah more so than Ezra. On the Messiah the Prince, Messiah's Jewish word. And then 62 weeks, so 7 and 62, 69 weeks. Okay, the street shall be built again, and the wall in troublous times. That's described in Nehemiah, those troublous times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off. Okay, the first occurrence of the words cut off will be in Genesis, and it talks about cutting off the flesh at the flood, so this is death. Okay, so after the 62 weeks, if the calendar kept going, Monday, day 170th week, if it didn't, okay, whatever, however God set it up. Okay, so Messiah's cut off after the 69 weeks. The 69 weeks were completed on Palm Sunday. So on Wednesday, they crucified him, cut off. It says, but not for himself. He did not die for himself. Okay, so just a very simple thing how he put that in there. He who knew no sin became sin for us. And then he says, okay, we have a colon. And the people of the prince shall come and destroy the city and the sanctuary. Okay, we have an advantage of hindsight. The prince, lowercase p. Okay, and we can run some cross references on this. Ezekiel 28. I'll do John 16, verse 11. That's a good number, isn't it? 16:11. Okay, this is the Lord of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged, lowercase p. You can run to Ephesians 2, verse 2, the prince of the power of the air. So we have hindsight as an advantage. The people of the prince, so the ones who destroyed the city and the sanctuary, that's Rome. So here he gives the Roman, the world, the fourth worldwide kingdom, and then he jumps into the Antichrist. Okay, people of the prince shall come, shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. Okay, then a semicolon. Okay, so that took place historically 70 AD. But sometimes at a semicolon or a colon or a conjunction, God may jump a couple thousand years, like he did Genesis 1, like he did in Genesis 3, like he did in other places. Okay, now this one is clear. Okay, you could have, not for himself, colon, people of the prince shall come and destroy the city and the sanctuary. That could be, you could go 2,000 years on that, or you can go with the historical event in 70 AD, because it's going to repeat it. We learn from history, men don't learn from history. Okay, but that next phrase after the word sanctuary, semicolon, the end. Now that clearly goes into the tribulation. Those two words, the end, occurs over 100 times in the Bible. You look at the context of each one. Okay, and then some of them will be specifically like Matthew 24:13, he that endureth to the end shall be saved. Okay, Hebrews 3:6 mentions the end. Hebrews 3:14, the end. Now in Matthew 24:13, he that endureth to the end shall be saved. And then if you keep reading the context, the next verse, gospel of the kingdom. Next verse, abomination of desolation. Verse 21, great tribulation. So that clearly gives a definition. And so the end in this context would be the end here of Daniel's 70 weeks. So that's why Hebrews will use that word, those two words, several occasions, the end. Okay, so the Pentecostals, they don't even look at that. And what they're doing is they're taking a satanic translation. Okay, what is a satanic translation? It's taking a truth of another age and applying it to a different age. So it's a masterful way of doing things. You can't, whoa, I got scripture. Yes, you do. That's right, you do. But he's talking to somebody else. You can't steal their mail. Yeah. I think they call that mail fraud. But they do it in the Bible all the time. So, okay, and then he gives another characteristic. The end thereof shall be with a flood. Now, is that a literal flood? Water? Well, let's see if we can find it. Let's try Revelation 12. Okay, after that wonderful talk about vomiting, so it delays your appetite, so you'll probably forget it in a few minutes, you're ready to eat. Okay, Revelation 12. Okay, we're looking for, okay, this would be tribulation, so we have the connection with the word the end. So we're looking for a flood. Revelation 12:13. When the dragon saw that he was cast out unto the earth, he persecuted the woman. Okay, in this context, the woman is Israel. The dragon is a no-brainer. Which brought forth a man-child. The man-child appears to be the 144,000 Jews as a corporate group. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle that she might fly into the wilderness. Okay, that's Saudi Arabia. Jordan, commonly known as Petra. Into her place where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time. Again, kind of obvious. Year, 2 years, half year. From the face of the serpent. Now this is strange. And the serpent casts out of his mouth water as a flood. After the woman that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. So this huge monster leviathan, this dragon, can suck up water from the Jordan River. And as Israel's running down, he could spew it out of his mouth and try to prevent them from getting down to Petra. So what happens? The earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood. Goes right in. Which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman, which went and went to make war with the remnant of her seed. Okay, which kept the commandments of God and had the testimony of Jesus Christ. So there we have a flood. Okay, to match that one in Daniel 9. Verse 26, the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war. So we have World War 3 and 4 left on the docket. The end of the war, desolations are determined. Okay, desolation. Desolation of Israel in particular, but also the world. Many areas of the world. Desolations. Okay, then he says, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. Okay, there's a, who's he? Okay, it looks like the subject is dealing with the people of the prince, so it's often assumed, and I would say rightly so, the he would be the Antichrist. But actually, you could go the Lord on it too. You could go either way on that one. Because God often, and the devil working hand in hand, case in point, 2 Samuel 24, and make sure I get the right one on this one. 2 Samuel 24, who moved David to number Israel? 2 Samuel 24 says, the Lord moved David to number Israel. In the parallel passage in 1 Chronicles 21, it says, the devil moved David to number Israel, who moved him? That's right. Both. Sometimes God and devil working hand in hand. There's a big, when I went to the King James Summit that Jack Scott put on up there years ago, they had a replica he edition of the Bible. Okay, and what it is in Ruth chapter 3, the first edition of the King James Bible, the replica that I have says, he went into the city referring to Boaz. The rest of the edition says, she went into the city referring to Ruth. Big old contradiction. Verse chapter 4, verse 1, both of them go to the city. So what's the big deal? In the King James Summit, they implied that you could ask questions. So I put on a question, which one's wrong? Somehow, my question didn't get answered. It doesn't matter, because they both go into the city. Okay, so in Daniel 9:27, who's making a covenant? You could go either way, and it's not a big deal. Because God and the devil often are working hand in hand. Now, we know God is the author, and he delegates things, and we know God's going to win. Okay, but you can run either way on that. It doesn't matter to me how a person wants to go. It's normally to believe the Antichrist, and I would say that would probably be the best route. So it says, he shall confirm the covenant. What covenant? You could say he shall confirm, God can confirm the covenant with Israel for a week. But it looks like this is an agreement, a covenant, between the Antichrist and the Jews for a 7-year agreement. That's often how it's interpreted, and I think that's fine and dandy. In the context, that would be the likely candidate. Okay, on this. So he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. So the Antichrist, the Antichrist will be able to be in cahoots with the Muslims because he will be a Syrian Jew. Okay, so he's a Syrian Jew where he can be pals with the Muslims, he can be pals with the Jews, and he can be pals with the Catholics all at the same time. So we have now, right now, not we, but it's happening in Saudi Arabia, in Dubai. Dubai is the playground for the movers and shakers of the Arabs. Dubai is. Okay, and so in Dubai, they're building now a mosque and a synagogue. and a Catholic church all together in wonderful love and harmony. Okay? They're all hugging on each other. Okay? And so that's what the Antichrist will be able to do, where you have the Dome of the Rock behind it, beside it, about 200 yards. About 100 yards. Is a gazebo where some that feel that's where the temple should be, the Jewish tabernacle. Whip up a tent there, Dome of the Rock, Jewish tabernacle, right within the city, Church of the Holy Sepulchre. So you got all three of them right there. Okay, and so the Antichrist will cut a deal and try to get everybody to put aside their differences. We're all one in charge, just as long as I'm in charge. We're all unity. You give up your, I'm in charge. That's how the Pope does it. Everybody gets in charge. Everybody give up their, you know, their beliefs so we can have unity. But I'm in charge. Make sure you get that. I cannot compromise on papal authority. Anybody can read that, right? Yeah. Okay, and so that's the idea. So the Antichrist getting them together, and he'll allow the Jews to whip up that tabernacle. The priests will have their garments. They already have their garments. They've got the red heifer. They already got that. Okay, and they could sacrifice a red heifer and burn the red heifer and then take the ashes and sprinkle it on an altar there. Okay, and Israel would be, yay, we got right with God. The Antichrist would be, yay, you're right with me. Oh, I didn't say that yet. Okay, so you're right with God. And then 3.5 years into it, then he will say, okay, now you need to get right with me. I'm God. Okay, and so that's, and in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease. Okay, no more lamb sacrifice. You are going to worship me because I am God manifest in the flesh. And to prove it to you, watch this lightning come down, strike the altar, and lightning comes down, strikes the altar. Pretty convincing proof, according to Revelation 13. But those Jews got that down in their craw. That's why they crucified Christ. Blasphemy. He says he's God. And that's when them 144,000 Jews say, oh, you're the devil incarnate, aren't you? And they will profess faith in the real Lamb of God. And then the Antichrist will be furious like Nebuchadnezzar was at the fiery furnace. He will be furious. He should grab them. And then he will have them sacrificed as a human sacrifice. Okay, that is what the abomination of desolations is. It's a human sacrifice in the Jewish temple, and the majority of the world will revel in it. Okay, now, Baptists that think Christ came back in 70 AD, it's kind of hard to say there was a straight face. Okay, and where Matthew 24 occurred all in 70 AD, okay, all that stuff 70 AD, they think the abomination of desolation was when Titus went into the Jewish temple and sacrificed a pig. Oh man, he just had a pork burger at a bar mitzvah, it's no big deal. Okay, but not a big deal. But when it's a human, that's a big deal. Okay, and that idea, Psalm 14:4, have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge who eat up my people as they eat bread. Psalm 14:4, Psalm 53:4, Micah chapter 3, they're going to fillet their skin from off them and eat them. I mean, the prophets wrote about this, but a lot of times we read these things and it just blows over our head. Just totally. Because we're not looking for the doctrine of the Bible. Psalm 79. The bodies are on heaps all around Jerusalem. There is none to bury them. Psalm 79 verse 11. The prisoner will sigh in prison because he's being held waiting to be sacrificed. Okay, and this is why it's such a big deal. In the tribulation, where at the end of the tribulation you have the judgment of the nations, and one of the qualifications there was to give clothes to the naked, feed the hungry, give drink to the thirsty, and to visit the prisoner while in prison. You visited me. And for a person to visit a prisoner in the tribulation time period is just put a bullseye on your back. The prison officials will write your name down and they will watch you. They'll just do like what, similar to what David and Maggie and Janet Lyle are experiencing in China. Where the Chinese, the new authorities there, they're trying to purge their country, get rid of all foreigners. And David and Maggie, his wife, his wife's family lives way up north China. It's right by the border of Russia. It actually has all the Russian characteristics, the Russian buildings. It looks like Russia, but it's China. And it's like Siberia, weather type. And so they just said to them, Maggie, David and Maggie, we know where your parents are at. You see, that's all they tell them, just to put a fear in them. And David and Maggie are getting out of Dodge in February, going into Thailand, and Janet and Lyle are trying to time it. They need to want to get out before they're told to get out, because if they're told to get out, they can't get back in, but if they leave beforehand, they have a chance to go back in. And Thailand has a pretty large Chinese population, so they can still minister to people there. So that, you know, that's small scale what tribulation is going to be like. You know, of course, it's a big deal, you know, from our perspective. So he says, he shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease. So the sacrificial lambs, stop that. And for the overspreading of abominations, it says, he shall make it desolate. Okay, desolate. Isaiah 62:4. It's going to be so desolate that he calls the land itself desolate. He gives it that title for a name. Isaiah 62:4. He says, thou shalt no more be termed forsaken, neither shall thy land any more be termed desolate. That's an uppercase D, and it shall be called Hephzibah. There's a ministry over in Warsaw that uses that name, Hephzibah House. Okay, and thy land Beulah, for the Lord delighteth in thee, and thy land shall be married. If you would try Judges, there's a song in Judges, Judges 4. 5. This is a song of Deborah and Barak. Many of the songs, like Moses' song, this Deborah's song, there's one in Exodus 15, are songs, like the songs in our hymn book, are about the second coming. So in this storyline, Jael, okay, was blessed above women. Okay, the Catholics talk about Mary and they brag about Mary blessed among women, but Jael is blessed above women. So if they really want to honor somebody, they should honor Jael. And a good way to honor her is to have a bunch of tent stakes. You know? What a way to honor some tent stake. Anybody that's not, I'm going to nail them. Can you imagine the emotion she would have? To, you know, I gotta hit. You know, I hit this right. Hit it right. And she nailed that guy to the ground. Sisera is a type of the Antichrist. And so they sing this song in Judges 5, verse 4. Here's where you get the doctrine of it. Well, in verse 3, it says, or verse 2, praise you to the Lord for the avenging of Israel when the people willingly offered themselves. So the Jews will willingly give themselves. The ones that stay in Israel will purposely, willingly give themselves to this sacrifice. And the ones that take off throughout the world preach the gospel of the kingdom. Okay, and then he says in verse 3, hear, O ye kings. Now, when you see the plural instead of the singular, because historically it would have been singular, when he throws the S, you're jumping into the 10 demoniac kings of Revelation. Verse 4, the Lord, when thou wentest out of Seir, That's Mount Seir. That's Edom. That's why I'm saying this is a doctrinal thing. He jumps doctrinal. And then you got Edom in verse 4. Okay, then in verse 6, see what happens to the country. In the days of Shamgar, thy son of Anath, in the days of Jael, okay, just historical, here's the prophecy. The highways were unoccupied, and the travelers walked through byways. The highways of Israel will go back to military use only. Nobody can get on the streets. And that's when the Lord, you know, turns the sundial down so that if it be possible, the very elect would be saved. And that's what Matthew 24 writes about. Many of these songs were like that. Okay, this Deborah and Barak. So Daniel 9:27. Let's see. For the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even unto the consummation. Okay, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. So that it's interesting that determined. I don't have a cross reference there, but it says in Acts about the crucifixion. It says that the Pharisees were determined. In other words, determined to crucify Christ. But then it also says, 1 and 2, 1 and 3, God was determined. So the sovereignty of God and the sovereignty of man met at Calvary. Where God had that going as according to his plans, and the devil thought he had it going according to his plans, and then the resurrection blew the devil's plans out of the water. You see, that's how they work together. And the devil doesn't pick up on this. He's being used. Where God is just, okay, this and this and this and this. And he's thinking, I'm going to win. And the Lord says, hey, just keep thinking it. I'm winning. That's the power of our God. Okay, that's chapter 9. We'll stop there. Oh, even 8 minutes early. Lord, thank you for your blessings, for your goodness. And Lord, thank you for your words. And I do pray and ask you to bless the food, our time together. In Jesus' name, amen.